And with palms pressed together, we say the Sufi invocation. Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Take the magnetism of these words, blow them from the mandala of your mouth into your hands, and allow that blessing to wash over you. So great to be with all of you, and I hope that this teaching speaks to you as deeply as it has to me, and it may very well be a subject we'll continue to explore over the next few months. I'm reading selections from the Sufi Message Volume 5, which is on spiritual liberty. And this is the section on the radiance of the soul. And what a great subject. We've just had the solstice. Murshid's birthday has just passed us. There's a lot of light in the world. And so it's good to concentrate on that inner light and be reminded of it. And these are Murshid's words on this subject. The heart of a person is like a globe over the light of the soul. When the globe is dusty, naturally the light is dim. When it's cleaned, the light increases. In fact, the light is always the same. It is the fault of the globe when it is not clear. It is the fault of the globe when it is not clear. I don't know if those words strike you the way they did me as I've been preparing for this class, but I wanted to go a little bit deeper and see what Murshid had to say about this subject elsewhere. And so I did find something, and it's a very beautiful teaching. This is from the Healing Papers, and I'm not sure these are published papers, but this is on the experience of the soul through the heart. And what I've learned by exploring these papers is Murshid goes into teachings about the experience of the soul through the body, this experience of the soul through the mind of another, the experience of the soul through all these different levels. And so I think it would be good for us. You know, in my training, I don't ever recall receiving these teachings, but I think there's something worth exploring. And so if you're up for it, we will do that over the next few months, and we begin today. So this little caveat from the teachings that I'm giving now, again, are from the healing, they're called the Healing Papers. And this is the detailed part about the experience of the soul through the heart. Since Murshid has just said to us, when the globe isn't clear, when it isn't clean, when it's cleaned, it increases. If the light isn't radiating out, it's the fault of the globe. So here we go. It's through the, Murshid says this to us. The heart is a globe covering the light of the soul. And the different emotions are different colors of this globe. Every emotion is produced by a certain element. While experiencing life through the heart, the soul at one moment thinks, I am sad, I am glad, I'm afraid, I'm humorous. In fact, this is momentary. When the influence of a particular element is changed, the emotion expires, and the soul is pure as it was before. So the soul is inherent light, pure light, but these are veils. It's like various veils. Some of the esoteric teachings that we read everywhere from Farida Dinatar's The Seven Valleys to St. Teresa of Avila, The Interior Mansion, to St. Francis that talks about the veils. I mean, this is what we're talking about. These are the veils that obscure the light of the soul. And it's written in many different faith and traditions. They write about this. So now we're talking about sort of renting these veils, removing them. So Murshid goes on to say, in fact, it's in a momentary experience. When the influence of a particular element is changed, the emotion is expired, and the soul is as pure as it was before. Nothing touches it. It's pure by its nature and always remains pure. If 10 people in turn look in a mirror, the mirror shows the face of every person. It's reflected. And it's clear as long as that face is there. But as soon as the face is removed, the mirror is empty. This is how it is with the soul. The veils, the coverings, the experiences may for a while, however momentary, influence the radiance of the soul. But it is really only momentary. Just like the mirror in the end, the mirror is as clear as it was before. It's empty and there's no face in it. There's no reflection. It's just pure. It's empty. So we want to remember that when we get caught in these details of who we think we are or misidentification with a momentary experience, try the best to tune to the light of the soul. That helps for me at least to clarify that it can be the fault of the globe, but it can maybe not be the fault of the, it's neither the fault of the soul. We're always pure and connected, okay? So now we go back to the teachings from Spiritual Liberty, Sufi Message Volume 5. When this radiance shines out, it shows itself not only through the countenance and expression of a person, but even in the person's atmosphere. Haven't you had this experience? It may be with the light of a child or the wisdom of an elder or in the presence of a teacher or just someone that you feel is lit up from inside. You may not know them, but you feel it. There's an atmosphere. And Murshid is indicating to us that we too can develop that and offer that to the world. He says, the soul power, so to speak, freely projects outward. The soul power, so to speak, freely projects outward, and the surroundings feel it. So again, we can have an influence upon the atmosphere. We can elevate others with our soul power, so to speak. The radiance of the soul is not only power, but it's inspiration too. A person understands better, and there's less confusion. If one is absorbed in the contemplation of something, be it art, music, poetry, philosophy, it could be nature, it could be anything. But as long as we're absorbed in it, that becomes a contemplation of sorts, you know, hence Zen and the art of cooking or Zen and the art of motorcycle maintenance is this kind of absorption into something so that it becomes a meditation, a contemplation. And one gets from this place of absorption, inspirations clearly arise. We don't have to search for them. And the secret of life and nature becomes revealed. Of course, sometimes what we struggle most is our own and others' human nature, but that too becomes revealed. We can develop insight, which ultimately will make us more compassionate and understanding, accepting. So I'd like to just pause for a moment because we've been talking a little bit about nature, and we know nature is blessing us, and nature is certainly challenging us. When we watch the news, we see what's happening in California with the wildfires, and I think they're even approaching Amina, you would know better, but I think we've also have some problems with those farther north, and the heat is certainly an issue for people in the northwest. So we know nature has her fury as well. But here we're turning to nature for inspiration on the, again, the subject of light. And this is how this works on the nature meditations. There's always, the phrases are always put on the swing of the breath. This is not unlike what we do with our Wazifa or mantra practice. In this instance, these teachings were given in English. And so there's always an in-breath where we concentrate on a phrase, and there's an out-breath when we concentrate on a phrase. So the in-breath is this. We breathe in, and I'll say the phrases for us to keep a rhythm and to keep our the words present in our mind. But breathing in, let thy light be my torch. And breathing out, through the darkness of mind. In, let the light be my torch. And out, through the darkness of mind. And in, may thy light be my torch. And out, through the darkness of mind. In, let thy light be my torch. And out, through the darkness of mind. And just keep breathing in. If the words don't easily come, you're just breathing in light, touching that light in within, and letting it arise to illuminate any dark shadows. So continue this breath. Let thy light be my torch, through the darkness of mind. We could just as easily have said in this practice, let thy light be my torch, through the darkness of heart or the darkness of my feelings. Because again, Mersha does make a distinction, and we will concentrate on these different aspects. One of them is mind, one of them is heart, one of them is ego, etc., etc. There's many. But I'd like to kind of take up this body of teachings. I think it's quite illuminating. And not only that, I think it's very practical for us to embrace these teachings and learn something and apply them in our lives. So the teaching from the Sufi Message Volume 5, Spiritual Liberty, continues. And this is on the subject is the radiance of the soul. And all of the teachings that will be taken up have to do with that subject, but in different aspects. So Murshid continues. As every light needs fuel, so does the light, capital L, which is ours, which is ourself, it needs fuel also. The fuel for the physical part of life is what we call food. But for the life of the mind, intellectual sustenance is necessary. The body is fed, if the body is fed and the mind is not, then naturally that light becomes less. The sustenance of the soul is the divine ideal, which is both love and light. If the soul does not receive that nourishment which is necessary, then the soul is starved. And so Murshid gives this love and light, love and light. It's a theme throughout all of his teachings. And we also know that in the purification breaths, he turns that phrase to light and life. But in the instructions, we are told to feel in the atmosphere, drawing love in. So again, it's one of those primary teachings of the path. It's something that we're asked to do every day, is the purification breaths. And this is part of it. This is part of the contemplation. This is part of the meditation. This is part of refining that globe, clearing the dust. So I'm not asking for a lot of time, but even if it's just 10 minutes twice a day, give a little time. Or in your daily activity, bring the practices into the breath, onto the tongue. Just make it part of everyday life. It will transform. It does transform. So the teaching goes on. The body may be nourished, but it's not sufficient. This is why we see before our physical eyes many famine-stricken souls. But if we saw with the spiritual eyes, we would still see more famine in humanity. And then what do? Do we become overwhelmed by it? Or do we let the divine torch, the divine light, raise us from the denseness of the earth so that we can help raise others? It's one thing to watch the news and wring our hands and feel overwhelmed by it. How do we make a real difference, just in small ways in everyday life? Think about it. I know all of you do. I know you do. I have no concern about that. So Murshid goes on and he asks this question. What do we learn in Sufism? What do we learn in Sufism? He says, we learn in Sufism that mysticism, which teaches us how to collect the fuel, which is necessary not only for the body, but for the mind and the soul. We collect the fuel. So just as we would be going out if we were to build a fire, where one might be needed for illumination or to cook, we would take kindling and we would gather those things and we would pile them up, and then we would find some sticks and larger pieces of wood and we would build them up. And this would then give us the means to build a fire. Well, in the same way we do this in our with our practices. And Murshid says, this is what he tells us, by concentration, by meditation, by all other means of contemplative practices, the purpose accomplished by the Sufi is that purpose which is the longing of every soul. Purpose, which is the longing of every soul. I'm trying to pull out of the atmosphere this phrase that Pir Vilayat used to give us in retreat. It goes something like this. God is trying to realize him, herself, through your own realization. Well, that's a pretty worthy purpose of the soul, to realize God, to have that connection, to be at home, the big home, the arms of the beloved, as much as we can, tuning this instrument in all of its levels of existence. Think about it. So I'd like for us to do a practice together now. It's a wazifa, and the practice, I'll say it a few times so it'll fall into your ears and your mind and your heart and your soul. Nur, you know that word is light. And the next phrase is al, like is the, al or il or el sometimes means the. In Arabic, and Anwar, Nur al-Anwar. And this practice, I want to talk about it before we do it together. I want you to experience it, but I want to give it context for you. So this practice can be, we can see the relationship to these words, Nur al-Anwar, to a verse from the Quran. And this comes from the 35th verse, the 24th surah, And this, of course, is a sura that many of us are familiar with. We've heard it in universal worship or studied it ourselves. And this sura is on light. And it is said that perhaps this is the most remarkable and renowned teaching of beauty and imagery. And it's said to be perhaps there's no other verse that is more mystical or esoteric in its interpretation. I'm going to read it to you, and then maybe we'll go back through the phrases and we can talk a little bit about it. So this is again from the Quran. So the word for God is Allah, and it says, Allah is the light of heavens and the earth. The example of divine light is like a niche within which is a lamp, the globe on the heart. The lamp is within a glass, and the glass is as if it were a pearly white star, a pearly white star. It's lit from oil of a blessed olive tree, neither from the east nor the west, whose oil would almost glow even if untouched by fire. Light upon light. Allah guides to the light whom Allah wills, which of course all of us. And Allah presents examples for the people. And Allah is all-knowing of all things. So if we go back and look at this beautiful phrase, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. Even in a scientific point of view, even from physics, we know there was the Big Bang, this light, this big explosion. And from that came everything that we know, and even those things that we don't know that are beyond our universe. The example of the divine light is like a niche within which is the lamp. This is like the innermost sanctum, the sanctuary that's most intimate within our very being. This is the niche. And the lamp is within a glass. And that glass is a pearly white star. What does a pearl do? Beautiful pearls, really quite iridescent, and it reflects all the colors, all the elements are present. It takes all of them. This could be interpreted that this understanding doesn't reside, just like the next line, well, in another line or two it'll say. Let me go on, and then I will come back to that pearly white star. Lit from the oil of the blessed olive tree. The olive tree is the branch offering an olive branch is for peace. Finding peace brings about the realization, the clarity of this light that can radiate out. And the surah says, neither the east nor the west, just like the pearly white star, is like the all of the elements dancing together. This light doesn't belong to the east nor the west. No one can claim it. It's eternal and infinite. No one religion can claim it, and no one person can claim it, and nor can they give it to us. It just is. And whose oil is would almost glow even if untouched by fire. But what does that mean? Untouched by fire. What we'll see later in these teachings, and we'll get to those in a few moments, is that Mirsha talks that the light is quickened, and you know you've read that yourself or you've heard it, sometimes by pain. So the whose light would almost glow even if untouched by fire, what happens if we touch fire? It creates pain. But there's those beautiful quotes about the blow of the heart opens it so that the light comes forth. And I think if we're all honest, sometimes we rarely think about. We maybe barely think about God. It's like, when do we cling to God? When things aren't going right. When we lost something, we're fearful of something, we're afraid of something, our heart is broken, our health is challenged, all these things, then we turn to God. But that light is always there, and God is great and protects us from so much, even from pain, mostly the pain of our own ignorance. I'm speaking to myself. Maybe it applies to you, maybe not, but you know, that's part of it too. And it's good to remember God every day, every moment, as much as we can, to see the glory of God, like Scotland was talking about, this glory of this circle around the sun of rainbow colors. Or, I know Gemma's posting so many beautiful photos of nature, and I know Sura's posting things about her children. These are all beautiful things that we can celebrate and are God's gift to us. Nur Latifah, with her wise pen, she writes many wise things. So those are all beautiful ways that we're sharing God. So I know you do in your own way. But again, remembering God always. And then, yes, in troubled times, God's there, as in happy times. The surah, light upon light, capital L, light upon light. Light upon light, light upon light, light upon light. Allah guides to the divine light whom Allah wills. And God is all gracious and merciful, so Allah guides all. And Allah presents examples for the people. And Allah is all-knowing of all things. It's like the morning prayer when we say, and praise be to thee, most supreme God, omnipotent, omnipresent, all-pervading, the only being. That's in that phrase. Allah is all-knowing of all things. Omnipotent, omnipresent, all-pervading. Very deep words in that first line of that morning prayer. Take that deeply into yourself when you say it. So, Nur al-Anwar. Again, Nur is this light. It's luminosity itself. It's self-illuminating awareness. It's the light of every soul, and it's an inherent characteristic in the intelligence of every pore of our being. And Anwar is luminous. It's the collection of lights. It's the gathering of lights. Now, if you're patient with me, I want to tell you a couple more things about this practice. And I'll share something from my own life that many of you don't know. So there was a time after my, I had been initiated a short while. And it was just before Pigmalite had asked me to take on the role of guide and a center leader. But I had entered a very, very dark time. It was a dark night of the soul. But there was also like, it was the stillness, I would say. And that stillness felt like a kind of death. It was, there's always so much movement in my life. That stillness did feel like a death. And it's like, I mean, I knew I wasn't dying and I certainly didn't have a death wish, but it was a really interesting place to live. And I lived there for a while. It wasn't a short while. It was a long while. And I was just patiently observing that aspect of my inner life. And I remember talking to Murshida Veer about it. And I said, you know, I have this feeling of longing, a feeling that I don't belong here, that I really belong somewhere else. Has anyone else had that feeling? You all have had that feeling, right? Like, I don't belong here. I belong somewhere else. Take me home. I want to go there. You know, or you just feel disconnected. You know, you feel disconnected from people. You maybe feel disconnected from the environment. You feel disconnected from yourself. You know what I'm talking about, right? Wag your head if you do. Yeah. So Murshida Vera said, well, it's a very natural process. And she said, I'm going to give you practice. And this practice means light upon lights, which is in that surah. And the meaning here is the collection of lights. And she said to me, when you say this practice, I want you to think that you're reaching out and you're gathering all the light from all of the universe, and not just our universe, all the universes, bringing them into yourself and connecting with that light. Because we are that light. And in truth, at a physics level, we're connected with all that. So why should we be disconnected? It's another veil that we have to remove. So think of that. You're just throwing out this huge net, and in that net, you're gathering all this light and bringing it into your being. Can we do that together? Okay. Nur al-Anwar. Nur al-Anwar. Just want to check for a minute and be sure that I've got I have power coming. I keep seeing the screen getting a little. Okay. So I'll do it a few times and then you just join me, okay? Nur al-Anwar. Nur al-Anwar. Breathe in the light, feel that precious connection of light with every other light in the universe. Let it feed your soul, and let that movement of gathering the stars and all of the light of all of the universe be like a breeze on the globe, on the heart, and the light, just clearing the dust away. So we'll do it again. And just with your breath, you imagine the globe that's over the heart, which is over the soul, becoming clear and radiant and growing in radiance and light. Nur al-Anwar. And we'll recite this 11 more times, allowing that connection to be stronger, knowing that this practice is yours, the gift of Murshida Vera and her light. A great gift it was to me, and I hope it will be for you as well. So 11 more times. Noor Al-Anwar. Noor Al-Anwar. Noor Al-Anwar. Noor Al-Anwar. Noor Al-Anwar. Noor Al-Anwar. And you can recite this practice also spoken. Noor Al-Anwar, Noor Al-Anwar, Noor Al-Anwar, Noor Al-Anwar. And you can also breathe it into the whisper. Noor Al-Anwar, Noor Al-Anwar, Noor Al-Anwar. And then also just on the breath. So you can tone it or you can say it however it's comfortable, or just recite it silently. So we don't have too much more to go, and then we can open the floor up. But there's another practice coming up, and just a bit more of this teaching of Murshid's. Murshid says that love is the best means of making the heart capable of reflecting the soul power. Love is the best means of making the heart capable of reflecting the soul power. And then he says, love in the sense of pain rather than in pleasure. Love in the sense of pain rather than pleasure. I think about the love Jesus had for us, willingly sacrificing himself on the cross. So many other incredible beings made such sacrifices. Think of all the holy ones that have traveled to faraway lands. I mean, I just completed a novena for showing my Catholicism, but on Peter and Paul. You know, they left the comfort of their home to travel and ultimately also were crucified, but to spread the word of Jesus. You all know this, those of you that are parents. You've loved through pain your children and your children's pain. You understand that very well. And that allows your heart to get bigger, your light to grow stronger, and you have to. You have to do that for the ones you love. You uplift them in that way. But we also know that, you know, again, the pain of loss, the pain of injury, the pain of death, these things also open us up. And even the pain of love. I mean, think when you fall in love, you know, there's that, a little bit of that fear. It's like, what's going to happen? Am I going to give myself away? And then what's going to happen? Or, you know, will my heart be broken? Well, who cares? Just love. It'll get mended and it'll maybe break again. This is called life. But it does make us, it does open us. And again, getting back to this idea of being in love, Ishkala Mabudala, loving God, loving God, loving God. But falling in love with others, It's a scary little enterprise. And yet, isn't it true that when that happens, there is some pain in that, even if it's just longing to be with the individual. But also, when you look around and you see, you just feel like you're familiar with everyone and you see goodness everywhere. It's a different kind of pain, but it does open us. And so, you know, let's try not to run away from pain. Let's neither try to run to it, but just accept it as a part of life and that it is a way of opening ourselves. I mean, Buddha sitting under the Bodhi tree all that time and finding the middle way, but first with a lot of austerities, and that brings a kind of suffering. And Mercia talks about the ascetics that deny food, deny sleep, deny different things to themselves. It also brings a kind of pain, but it has a way of containing the ego from what it wants. So this is a, you know, that phrase, we could probably go on for years with it, but contemplate it and maybe come back and read this. I do have links to the whole teaching. I'm extracting pieces for the benefit of the class and for time, but you know, there's something in there. There's a nugget. And Mercia goes on to say, I mean, love in the sense of pain rather than pleasure. And then he says, every blow, it seems to open the door of the heart whence the soul power it can come forth. And he says, the concrete manifestations of the soul power can be witnessed in the depth of the voice, in the choice of words, in the form of a sentence or phrase, in every movement, a pose, a gesture, and especially in the expression of a person. This can be seen, the soul power. Even the atmosphere speaks through, though it is difficult for everyone to hear. So the atmosphere is there. I think we as Sufis are well trained to feel that atmosphere, but others can't, and that's okay too. They're just where they are in a process of unfoldment. There's a quote that's coming to mind now, Anayat Khan's, and he says, that has to do with this. Even the atmosphere speaks, though it is difficult for everyone to hear. There's this beautiful phrase of Mercia's, and it goes like this. People often ask me questions I can't easily answer in words. People often, let me get it right. And some people often ask me questions I can't easily answer in words, and it makes me feel sad, or it brings pain to know they don't know the meaning of my silence. So silence can be a great teacher too. Sharing the atmosphere, and you know, places have atmosphere too. Churches, special places in nature. It's not just us. Those atmospheres can also come from people praying in a certain place or a holy person sitting in a certain place. There's atmosphere. There's atmosphere. So we have one last practice. And again, dealing with light. And I think we've worked on this practice, but it's been some time ago. I thought it would be good to bring it back. It's one that Mercia Chitavira also gave to me, but also Pirvalayat. So the blessings of those two beautiful souls, working from the light of the universe here now. So this is Nur, or Yan Nur. Nur is the essence of light, and Nur is luminosity itself. And it is the light of every soul. And Mercia Vera, when she gave me my name and she gave me the practice, she said, this isn't necessarily physical light. Rather, it's self-illuminating awareness. And this, in fact, is the light that shines from within you, and it shines from within everything. And so, tuning to that light, drawing from that light, it's like the Nur al-Anwar, this radiance from within, connecting with the radiance, the whole universe, and with all beings. Think of it. The second word to this practice, it's two words in tandem, Yanur Yamunawar, Yanur Yamunawar. Munawar, it means shining, illuminating, emitting light, radiant. So there's one thing to have that light contained within the soul, but then how does it become manifest? So that's what Manaur does. It shines out. It's a vehicle for bringing that light into the world, letting it radiate through your being, through your eyes, through your smile, through your voice, through your love. So Manaur, okay? Light can just be somewhat still, but Manaur is active, the active principle of radiance, of emitting light, okay? So let's do this, these two wazifas in tandem. And I think we'll use the tone again. It does something, especially when you're beginning a practice, to kind of have that sound quality sung a little bit or chanted. And then, of course, in your own practice, you can say it or whisper it or say it silently. We're going to tone it, okay? Yanur Yamanaur, Yanur Yamanaur, Yanur Yamanaur, Yanur Yamanaur, Yanur Yanur Yamanaur, Yanur Yamanaur, Yanur Yamanaur, Yanur Yamanaur, Yanur Yamanaur, Yanur Yamanaur. And now we're going to do it on a whisper, and we're going to breathe in Nur and out Manaur, again drawing the light inward and then allowing it to radiate. So drawing it in, the receptive aspect, letting that radiance grow from within and then shine out. So on the in-breath, we say Nur, draw it in, and then Manaur, out. Nur, Manaur, 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 and now silently we just breathe in Nur and out Manaur. Yanur Yamanaur. So we've come to the end of my time. We can leave the floor open in a moment. We'll open it up, but we can have some conversation, questions and answers, comments. And this is my public service announcement of, if you'd like to make a contribution, it does help with the website. You know, I do all the web work myself, so we don't pay for that, but we do need to host it, and there are other things that have to be paid for, Zoom, et cetera, et cetera. It helps if we can collect our monies. I also do want you to know on our behalf, and I hope it's okay with you, I did send some money, Joe and I have also done it, but on our behalf to increase our good merit as a community, I sent some money to those people that were touched by the catastrophe of the collapsed condo complex that's very near to us. So I thought that would be a good thing to do. There are families that are homeless, and it's a tragedy. They were very much underinsured. There's a loss of life. You know, you've heard it on the news. So I thought that that would be a good means of sharing some of what we've collected together as a community and dispersing it for some good. And again, in my teachings, especially from the Buddhist tradition, it increases our merit by giving. So I hope that you met with approval. I didn't have time to ask your permission, but I acted on our behalf. So again, the money goes to help with things like that. We probably owe, not that we owe anyone anything, but it would be a benefit to send some money more to where Murshid's earthly remains are. But there's also the Hope Project there that helps so many that are in dire need. And the area where that is they're on lockdown. They can't get out of the streets that they're in. So they're trying to get food through the gates and water and things like that. So if we can help them, then we can help them. And it's a good thing to do, especially since our merchant decided to, this would be the place where he would grace with after his passing. The means for offering something, we have something on my Facebook. You can click and go through just through there. Again, all of the proceeds come directly to us. And also, we have a link on our website, sufi-message.org. There's a donate link at the upper right corner of the page, and you can donate through PayPal, or there's also addresses for checks. So we've also been working hard to keep our nonprofit status in good working order. So we've recently incurred some slight attorney's fees because we had to relocate here, and there's a process that we had to go through locally with the state government. So all those things happen, and you know, we, Joe and I, contribute in our own way as well, and I know all of you don't mind helping as well. So let's keep the good work going forward. And thank you for allowing me to make that announcement. And let us close with the Khatun. O thou who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness, teach us thy loving forgiveness, raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide men, women, caste, class, countries that divide. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit and unite us all in thy perfect being. Amen.